Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
We've got Donnchadh O'Callaghan on the line. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. And Shane Jennings, you're there?
Joe, how you doing?
Very well. Say hello to Donnchadh.
Donnchadh, how are we doing?
Hey, Jenna. How are you, boy?
So we've got lots to talk about. We're going to touch on the weekend's results. There's not a huge amount to say. I know, Donnchadh, you were home for the weekend and you were watching Munster's 36 points to 10 over Ospreys, who were missing 22 odd players with Wales in action. Leinster, James Lowe, that's impressive, and scored two tries. They beat Bennett and Treviso 36-10. Connacht losing to Zebre is maybe the headline news, and very disappointing, 24 points to 10, and Ulster came back late to draw 32 points apiece with the Dragons. The news today is that very quickly, obviously, people are looking ahead to the weekend. Peter O'Mahony was in front of the media today ahead of the Leicester game at the weekend, the press conference happened today. So here was Peter O'Mahony talking about his contract situation.
It's well documented, obviously, this time of the year you get offers from, you know, offers from clubs in France and England, and look, I'm going to leave my agents sort all that side of it. It's very important for me to concentrate on such two big tests at this weekend and obviously the following weekend with Leicester. But I'm hoping to have it wrapped up one way or the other, regardless, by the new year, to be honest.
Because you're a Munster man through and through, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely, I am. But look, you know, it's a professional sport and it's a short career, so it's. As I said, hopefully it'll be done by the new year, regardless, one way or the other.
Yeah. There was a point in the press conference where he simply had to say, lads, I'm the Munster captain. I can't keep talking about this here to ye. I'm leaving to my agent. I'm not coming out here and talking about this as Munster captain in a press conference ahead of the Leicester game. And that's where he is. Gavin Cumsky in the Irish Times today reporting that one club are willing to double the current IRFU offer. And it's really hard, Donnchadh, as Munster through and through as he might be. He's conscious it's a short career. I mean, all of us are stopping to think very seriously about double your money.
Yeah, 100%. Joe, we've covered it as well. We've spoke about it. But it's, I suppose, being in the situation myself, and when I looked at around to gain my value, I was lucky that, you know, it wasn't too far off where the IRFU was pitching me. Whereas these guys now are getting super offers, and you see it in the Premiership. There is big money in the Premiership. There's bigger money again in France. So, and someone like Peter is desirable. You know, you put him in your pack, and straight away you've all the values and qualities he brings, as well as his skill set. So, I know he'd be highly sought after. But you know, this is what goes on. Everyone's playing their part now. Agents, players, the RFU, even the media, you know, the way it's been dropped in. This is what happens now. This is nearly the dance of getting this deal over the line. Look, for me, I said it before, I think it's a no-brainer. Peter O'Mahony playing for Munster at the moment is vital. I think he's of higher value to Munster than he is probably to Ireland, the way everything's going under Joe Schmidt. But I think, you know, it's important, and especially for Cork rugby. I think it's massive for Cork rugby with everything that's gone on with the move to the one centre in Limerick and Thomond Park getting every European Cup game. I just think you're a young boy and Christians and Prez there. You need to see your local heroes out in the big stage, and you need them. So it's important for me that Pete stays, but I can see where money comes into it and that he could be lured away. And I know that some of the clubs would pay any money to have quality like himself.
It's certainly hard, Shane, for the RFU to match double, you would think. I mean, that's going to be a big chunk of change. And we won't quibble over Dunica's point about his importance to Munster. From an Irish point of view, and obviously you're fairly afay with the back row, Joe Schmidt will look at Peter O'Mahony, presumably, and will think, God, he's a really big loss. But looking at my back row options from an Irish point of view, I can plough on without him if I have to. That is doable.
Yeah, I suppose it is. It's a tough one, I'm sure, for Peter, because, you know, his loyalty is to Munster, but if someone comes in and says, here, I'm going to double it, like, no matter how loyal you are, you got to look at how you're going to be able to provide for yourself and your family moving forward. So it's very difficult for him, and I'm sure he's probably not that comfortable being the captain of the side and being from Munster, etc., etc. But from a Joe point of view, he's kind of well, I don't know if he's said it, but if you're going to play abroad and you're not Johnny Sexton, you're not going to get picked. So it's kind of, do they take that stance with Peter Armani, and do they allow him into the squad, or do they allow people to leave the country and play? Because if they do, this could happen to a lot of the big-time players. And from a kind of a depth chart in the Irish squad, yeah, there is cover there. You know, Reese has been probably the outstanding back row forward so far this season. He's done really well when he's come on for Ireland. So it gives him an opportunity. And I think Ireland are very lucky to have a bloke like him. And that's not to say it's not just Reese. There's a load of lads there, thereabouts in the back row. But Peter's experienced, and he's got a few years of international rugby under his belt that some of the other guys don't have. And if he does go and Joe doesn't pick him, of course, it's a big loss to the Irish team, because he is influential and he's done very well when he's played for Ireland.
Mm. We'll see how it all resolves itself. O'Mahony says he wants it sorted by January, wants this done by the new year, if he can at all. It's a really interesting weekend coming up. Munster host Leicester at Thomond Park, 7:45 Saturday night is kind of perfect, really. Connacht are away to Breve in the Challenge Cup. Harlequins host Ulster at 1. Ulster pretty much gone in their pool. And then Exeter host Leinster at 5:30 on Sunday. So, in particular, those Leinster-Munster kick-off times and the games themselves are really, really attractive, and there should be a really good atmosphere. Thoughts of Munster-Leicester at Thomond Park? Invariably for us, brought up memories of 07, which was such a seismic thing, Dunica. So we thought we would dig deep here and hopefully make you cry.
Cheers, thanks. Yeah. Just relive the nightmare.
So, like, the context here is amazing, in that Munster, with Leicester arriving in 07, had never been beaten in European action over 12 years in Limerick. There had been a loss in Cork, but in Limerick, It was an unbeaten record. And it was also the last game before the renovation works. So there was probably an added kind of sense of, God, we can see out this record and overcome Leicester. So I presume, Dunica, before, like, you guys were very proud of that record, very aware of that record, and it was an important thing to you as a group.
I'll be honest with you, Joe. The record was actually like a burden. I promise you. Like, bar losing that match, you were kind of glad it was gone, because every time you nearly got to the point where you preferred playing away, because every time it was on the line, you know. And it just became a massive kind of monkey on your back every time you went out. So
it was almost talked about. It was almost actually talked about most games.
Oh yeah, the whole time. Thomond was special, and you're right. It was the last game in the old stadium, which it was completely different. You know, it was a different type of atmosphere. It was way more terracy, and it was the start of that kind of small stadium as it's grown on now. But I just remember small things about that game. I remember the whistle going. I think it was Roman Pott was reffing it, and just I honestly couldn't believe the whistle had gone and we hadn't won. You know, that I don't mean to sound cocky or anything. It just didn't happen, you know. And I remember walking off the pitch and hearing the groundsman saying, "What did we do with all these fireworks?" And you're like, you can stick them somewhere, you know. But I'll be honest, it wasn't like we were complacent going into the game. And Jen will know it. We brought our best that night. Right. We were beaten off the pitch. Leicester were better than us. It wasn't like we came off and said we could have done any more. We brought our best, and they were better, you know. And guys played out of their skin, you know, the whole back row. I remember coming into it, everyone was questioning Martin Corrie's leadership in the English help, and he was phenomenal that night, along with Geno and Lewis Moody. They really set a platform. But someone that we thought we could get into was Ian Humphreys, and he ended up having the game of his life, you know. So, you know, Geno will probably reflect on it a bit more, but, like, we were motivated going into it. I don't know, do you remember, but Pat Howard, Leicester's coach at the time, Geno, said, you know, Thomond's just another field. And sure, of course, that was like kicking the cage as well for us. So, like, Joe, it wasn't like we were not motivated with an English team coming to Thomond. It was not like that we knew the record and the last match. It was just, to be fair to them, on that night they were better. And the Irish lads were phenomenal. Geno, Leo, Jordan again, to be fair, you know, Jordan's an inspirational and great motivator on the place. But what he does brilliantly is he backs up his actions, and he scored that day as well. And I just don't, you remember how guys like Lewis Moody and George Shooter ran to him that day because, you know, they knew he probably talked it up early in the week, but he delivered when it came to match day, and that's what he always does.
This, Shane, was kind of European royalty really facing off. So Munster are defending Ireland Cup champions, Leicester are champions from 01 and 02. It's still the creme de la creme, really, of Irish and English rugby in particular. 13-6 was the final score for people who don't remember, and the rain was brutal. Like, this was a match for forwards. I don't know, do you remember how bad the weather was?
Yeah, I do remember it. Yeah, it's kind of a fond memory. It was a battle. Like, it's funny, there was the time leading up to it. Leicester had beaten us in Welford Road, and we had kind of felt aggrieved, and I personally felt aggrieved because it was gas at the end of the game, or towards the end of the game, Raj took on the ball and I tackled him, and it was so wet in Welford Road, he kind of spilled it, and it was a knock on. But as he spilled it, I kind of scooped it on the ground, and Nigel Owens blew me for playing it on the ground or something. I looked up at him and I thought, you're kidding me, or are you having a laugh or something? And he marched me 10 yards and I thought, oh, for God's sake. And then as I turned around, Andy Goo go, this is from the halfway line or inside the Munster half, and Andy Goo goes, don't worry, he won't get it. I said, I guarantee you he's going to slot it. And he drills it in the pissing rain in Welford Road, and they win. And the next day, I remember Richard Cockrell, I went up to him, and he goes, no, I don't blame you. I blame me. And I was like, oh, God. It's like a little school teacher, like, giving out to you. So kind of from that game onwards, I had a beef with Nigel Owens, I had a beef with Munster, I had a beef with myself. Everybody was kind of on edge, and we wanted to kind of rectify what had happened. So whether Munster knew that, whether they were aware of it, but then at the same time, a lot of the guys wouldn't have had an appreciation of what Thomond Park was and the history that Munster had built up over a number of seasons and what it actually meant in Irish rugby. So that was probably a positive, where they didn't really fully get a grasp of where they were going to. But at the same time, we had a good team, and like, we had some serious players. I remember like Martin Castro-Giovanni, yeah. Whitey the prop, like George. These were seasoned, hardened pros, and it was a brilliant game. Like Dunica said, Munster were very good and Leicester were very good. And he said, Ian Humphreys, we did everything that night to hide Ian Humphreys. We had him in the wing defending with Stuart Rambini in at 10. And even though it was a kind of a miserable night, we still played some good rugby, and Munster played good rugby. And it was one of those brilliant European games. So, yeah, it was a great night. And it's always nice when you're not from Munster going to a place and blowing out their candles on a big occasion as well. So it was just a brilliant night. But yeah, you'd hope for some more of those games over the course of the weekend.
I was looking back through match reports, and it seems, I'm not sure how they knew this, but a number of journalists mentioned that in the Leinster team dressing room, there was a sign up on the wall saying to dominate mentally, physically and verbally. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Right. Would that have been up before every match?
Craig White, he was with Wasps. He was the strength and conditioning coach. He went on to Wales and the Lions, and he worked a lot with Warren Gatland and Sean Edwards. And he brought that kind of mentality up from Wasp to Leicester, and it comes across really arrogant, I think. And like, they put every dressing room we had, it was dominate verbally or dominate emotion or whatever. Like every week it was just like, this is just their mentality. And that's kind of the Leicester way. They kind of are the kind of, historically they were a very kind of bully boy orientated team, and Pat Howard brought a bit of sophistication to their play in terms of the back line, the skill, and what we kind of evolved into. And like, out of the squad of players, I think there was about 40 in the squad, I think there's about 25 internationals. So you have that kind of culture within a club where it's very confrontational. And when Craig came in, he knew that, and he kind of added to it by saying, listen, if you want to consider yourselves the best, you're going to have to make big statements, and you're going to have to go to places like Thomond Park, and you're going to have to back your words. There's no point in having them in Welford Road, and then when you go away, you walk home with your tail between your legs. So they had that up, yeah, and it was, I still think it's arrogant, but it worked for Leicester, and that was the kind of mindset we were in. And, you know, we were kind of, I remember Martin Carey was just like, just wear it, be cocky, be arrogant, but you got to back it up. If you don't back it up, you're just another kind of Joe Soap. So it was brilliant, like, and that night they backed it up, and yeah, that's why it's good, nice to be a part of those ones.
Yeah, even the notion, okay, dominate mentally and physically, I get, but dominate verbally. Did you feel verbally dominated that night, Dunica?
No, not at all. I'll be honest with you. If anything, I remember Geno mucked myself off at you at one point, and you were so composed. Same at Leo at another time. Some people can judge Thomond wrong, and they can they can nearly be over aroused and think that it's a physical confrontation. It's not that. It's physicality in all the aspects of the play that matter. And you see it with a few French teams and a few English teams. They come over there and they're nearly ready for a fight in the first 10 minutes. Mm. Leicester weren't like that. They're like, you know, Martin Carey was so composed. The whole lot of them were so composed. And I think that's where they got the result. They were measured when they played there, as opposed to, you know, there's been plenty of verbals and matches, but I don't really remember it that day. If anything, I found it frustrating that they weren't going to get caught up in any of that stuff. Mm. They were there to do a job, and they, Geno's right, they had quality throughout. That front row was incredible. And I remember at one point we'd an option and went to take them on scrum-wise, and you know, we it didn't go away and it turned over, and that was a massive momentum swing in the game, you know. And you can say all those things, Joe, everyone put stuff up on the walls, you know what I mean? I don't think that was the reason those, you know, Leicester won because they were brilliant that day, not because Craig White took 10 minutes and plastered the wall with some nice wallpaper, you know.
Really? Because I put Be the Best You Can Be up in my bedroom wall this morning.
Well, you're certainly doing a fair play.
what's the dressing room like then? Because it's the last game before the renovation. This unbelievable, I mean, really one of the best records in Irish sport, you've got to think. 12 years unbeaten at Thomond, and you cough it up on the final day, admittedly against a very good team. Is it an angry dressing room or just sick and quiet?
No, I swear it was proper shock. You actually, I couldn't nearly even take it in. And that wasn't being disrespectful, because it wasn't like you went out and played poorly. It was just, it was like nearly a feeling of this shouldn't happen, you know, like what went on here. So, and that was the dressing room. It was completely honest. I know Rod spoke afterwards, and as always with him, he was there, they were better. And that was 100% the case. It would hurt if you didn't perform, and it would drive you crazy if you were robbed or something, but that wasn't the case. We had zero complaint because they were better.
Right. Did you stick your head into their dressing room at all, Shane, in that situation, or did you get out of there?
No, we had a great night, to be honest. We stayed over, and we had a brilliant night in Limerick. We went as, I think it was one of the former Munster lads, Tom Tierney, the scrum half, had been in Leicester, and I think he had a family pub in just off one of the main streets in Limerick, and we all went up there for a few pints after, and we had a great night. And it was funny, there was a lot of Munster supporters in there, and I remember there was Munster supporters swapping jerseys with some lads' polo shirts, and it was just brilliant fun. Right. It was one of the good nights, and it was mad. Like the next day when we were getting the bus to the airport or whatever, people were just like, geez, that was just brilliant, like a brilliant game. Supporters were brilliant. We had great crack that night, and it was just a really good memory, and the kind of... it was the start of building up a bit of momentum that season for Leicester, because we went well in all the competitions we were involved in. But like Dunica said, I think it was just one of those brilliant games. Like, if you watched it back, we were knocking lumps out of each other, but there was a good level of skill and really difficult conditions. And it wasn't as if Munster didn't want to go out in a high. They played some really good rugby, and they put us under a lot of pressure as well. So it was just a magic night, and it's always nice when you come on the right side of them.
Yeah, I can imagine. Which brings us nicely on to this Saturday, 7:45. Leicester on 6 points, Munster on 6 points. This couldn't be teed up any better. I know, Dunica, you watched Munster's win over Ospreys at the weekend, admittedly a slightly weakened Ospreys, and this is just a whole different ball game. You've probably seen a bit of Leicester up close this season, one way or another. So talk to us about this Saturday.
Yeah, I think it'll be another big one. I think you're right. Over in England, you know, everyone's looking forward to these Irish-English games, and they nearly get billed as something else, kind of like the Premiership versus the Pro 14. So myself and Benny Teo have been blowing on about how good the Pro 14 is, and they're just having none of it. So half of you really wants the Irish teams to go well this weekend, just to have a bit of bragging rights around the place. But we played Leicester 2 weeks ago with Worcester, and we won, had a good result. Obviously they were missing an awful lot of their internationals and probably rested up a few guys, but I think they'll be in a different spot. They had a disappointing loss to Wasps on Saturday. So they've lost two in a row after kind of going on a run of four good wins before that. So, what Jenna was speaking about there, there's tradition and pride and massive respect between both teams. And you know they're going to bring it. So I think it's going to be one of the games of the rounds. And these back-to-backs are brilliant because there's hangover, you know, from the week before. You know, normally there's maybe five games and you forget what a guy said or did. You know, it's still very raw the following week. So I think it'll be good. The one everyone's looking forward to in England, I'll be honest with you, is Exeter-Leinster. That's the one that I think Exeter, like everyone's favourite second team in England, you know, and they really want to see how well they'll go this year. You know, they've done well last year in winning the Premiership, but it's, can they make that step and to go with Leinster to see, you know, toe-to-toe against, you know, European, that kind of calibre, how well they can fare.
Yeah, they're 8 points clear, Exeter, at the top of the Premiership. So they've got Leinster at home. Rather, on Sunday, James Lowe made his debut for Leinster over the weekend and looked very good. Leo Cullen called him a proven finisher. He scored two tries. How good are Exeter, Dunica?
They're good. They're really good. They're, I know this is a kind of generic line, but they're incredibly well drilled. I think, everyone knows what they're about, and they're just a tight-knit group. They're really hard to play. They play at a tempo that's probably uncomfortable for most teams in the Premiership. It won't be for Leinster. But that's why I'm kind of excited about it. I think if anyone can, you know, be the flagship for the Premiership, I think Exeter are that at the moment. Mm. I think the rugby they play is quite entertaining to watch as well. I think, you know, Saracens get an awful hard time over the kind of kicking battle in which they play, whereas Exeter, they execute good plays and good moves an awful lot like Leinster do. So I think it'll be good to see. And, you know, they're traditional then is when they get into the 22s, you know, the ball doesn't go much past one pass, but it'll be good to see. I think Exeter will be, they'll be hard to beat, you know. I think it's going to be a great game.
Leinster are on 10 points, Exeter are on 8 points, Shane. Obviously a win for Leinster here really just cements total and complete control of the pool. Do you fancy them to go over to England and do it?
I don't know, to be honest. I know we played them a few years ago over there and they were kind of, they've always been a very difficult team to play, and everybody says Sandy Park is a difficult place to go, but that night we did well. But it's a very different team and it's a more kind of battle-hardened and established team, and having won the Premiership and, like you said, 8 points clear in the Premiership, they're a really good side. Yeah. And the kind of thing that probably catches most people out is that they don't have any kind of real standout players where you go, oh yeah, he's world class, or he's knocking in tries for England every week, this, that and the other. Like, without being disrespectful to the guy, but like Gareth Stinson, this is the kind of guy that most Irish people probably wouldn't overly rate in comparison to the likes of a Johnny Sexton or an Irish international or a provincial player here, because he's gone over there, but yet he does it week in, week out. If you underestimate him, he'll make a muggy. And like another guy, Ian Whitten, who lads would be familiar with, these guys are performing week in, week out. And if you perform in England week in, week out, you're good. Like, so you can't underestimate any of their players that they have. And like Dunica said, a well-drilled, good unit is very, very difficult to beat. And again, if they obviously did go over, which I'd hope they could go over and win, trying to back that up the following week is tough. Remember a few years ago we went over to Hampton and we absolutely belted them, and then the next week they came to us and they've knocked us off the park. Like, so it's just such a difficult 2 weeks to get right. But obviously you go over to England and you get your win, you're in a lot better position. But it's a huge ask. But it's also a brilliant ask for Leinster, because if they actually go over, if they perform and they get a win, that means these fellas are maturing and they're real contenders. But like we said there, you got to back it up, don't you? But I think it's going to be a cracking game. It's really good. And Exeter are a really balanced side. I think Leinster, they're kind of hungry to kick on now. And everybody says they've got talent. But like, the most important thing is they've got to start winning. And this is a real challenge for them. So it's brilliant.
Yeah, it's going to be a brilliant 2 weeks. Final word to you then, Dunica, as the most familiar with all four sides. Are we looking at two Irish wins here, or what's realistic?
I think it's tough. I'll be honest, Joe, I really can't call it. Obviously, you want the home advantage is massive for Munster, but I just think Leicester lick their lips to moments like that, you know? They love coming. I think the kickoff time is going to make it electric. Mm. I think, I know this is an awful thing to say, but Thomond Park, after having a few points as well, I think it could be wild. So you'd hope that we could get two Irish wins, and I think that would put it would put Leinster in a great spot. But as Jenna said, you know these are half times after these results. I think, and every point matters. I know what you're thinking, Ojo, but like, bonus points and a loss can add up, and you know, even points difference. So
yeah,
I think they'll be an awful lot closer than people think. But yeah, let's hope for all Irish wins.
Yeah, sounds good. Lads, thanks a million for that. Go forth and dominate mentally, physically and verbally, and we'll talk to you again soon. Cheers. Shane Jennings and Dunico O'Callaghan there. We'll preview those games in a bit more depth on Wednesday night as well. So they sound like two absolute crackers. Connacht are in Challenge Cup action away to Breve at 8 o'clock. We'll talk a bit about Connacht on Wednesday. I'm not sure quite what's going on there at the moment. And then Ulster of Harlequins, 1 o'clock away on the Sunday.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.